Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, we'll start there tonight. Praise the Lord. Some of the things I'm going to say tonight is somewhat speculation, and if it's speculation, I'll tell you. But I believe it's scriptural speculation, and so you can take it and study it out on your own and write the divine word and search the scriptures daily where these things are so. Is that fair? And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. This is talking about Elijah and his mentoree, Elijah. Elijah wanted to ask for a double portion of the spirit that the man of God had. And so now we continue reading. He said, you've asked a hard thing. If you see me when I'm taken up from thee, it shall be unto you, but if not, it shall not be. There's the condition. It came to pass, and that's 3 years. It came to pass, verse 11 of 2 Kings 2, as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. Father, we thank you for your eternal word. It is energized with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. In eternity, time and distance do not have relevance. In eternity, time and distance has no meaning. It isn't relevant. Eternity is not subject to distance, time, and space. It's another dimension beyond our comprehension, but yet real. That's the realm of God. That's where God is. And you know, Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. So I explain it this way. The first heaven is the sky. The birds fly and fish and things, you know, fly through the air. Reminds me of a story one time. My father-in-law that told a story about a fishing trip. And he got out in the boat. And these guys were always trying to out-tell the other guy's story. So he got in the fishing boat. And they got out in the river. And this guy caught something on his fishing pole, and he reeled it in. It was another fishing pole. Well, he got that fishing pole, reeled it in. There was a fish on the end of it. But he got the fish in the boat and threw the fish down in the boat, and the fish jumped out of the boat and swam across the top of the lake over to the shore. And what happened then? Well, he said, I went after the fish, and I got out of the boat and reached out to grab the fish, and when I did, he run up to a tree. And he said, after that, well, what'd you do then? Well, I reached out to catch that fish, and he climbed up that tree. About that time, you know, it's getting way out here. So he said, what'd you do? Well, I climbed up the tree after him. He said, I reached out, and that fish ran out on a limb. So I tried to climb out on that limb, and I got out there, and just as I reached out to grab him, he flew away. Now, top that story. What's that got to do with anything? Nothing. I just thought it was funny. Chapter 5. And as you go to chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, think about this a minute. Elijah actually went up in a whirlwind. Now, say whirlwind. All right, now, I looked up that word whirlwind, and there is another link to that definition that I liked, and it just simply means to toss. He was tossed somewhere. He went up. We know that he went up. The question is how did he go up? And I can safely say tonight that he went up to the third heaven. And which is at the end of outer space. Now, there's a genius scientist called, last name is Hawkins. And he said that when astronauts go into outer space, and if they're up there for a long time, time changes. Einstein came up with this, you know, traveling faster than the speed of light. And Einstein theorized that if a person could travel faster than the speed of light, and over a period of a few days or a few weeks, as far as they're concerned, it would only be a few weeks, but when they come back to Earth, many years have passed. And I've heard stories about astronauts when they come back from outer space after being there for a long time, they come back and time reverses. They never really get back into reality because they've been in another place where time is irrelevant. It wasn't eternity, but to speculate a little bit, eternity is a step beyond that. So we have the atmosphere that the birds fly in. That was the fish. Fish don't fly, by the way. But then the second heaven is outer space. 300 billion galaxies. The Milky Way is beyond description. If we could travel at the speed of light, it'd take hundreds of light years to get to the end of outer space. But if we could travel there and come back, it would take 30 million years of time. So you see, it's beyond our comprehension. That's second heaven. Third heaven is where God is. Amen. The thing about the third heaven is it isn't subject to the reality of dimensions. God is a multidimensional being. He knows everything, past, present, and future, at the same time with an infinite number of dimensions. Praise God. And so, Hawkins also theorized, that's the scientist, that if one could get into a wormhole, now we've heard about wormholes. Scientists have proven wormholes do exist. And they theorize that if a human being could get into a wormhole, he would exit before he finishes getting in. The question is where does the wormhole end up? Well, I theorize that God travels some way, and angels travel some way. Souls travel some way. And it could be possible then that beings enter into what we would call a wormhole and transport from point A to point B in a second of time, but clear across the universe. If an angel can travel faster than the speed of light in 1 second, go around the earth seven times, like that one angel that came in and killed 186,000 Assyrians in one night with one sword, one angel, they move faster than the speed of light. The only way we can see an angel is if God allows them to slow down so we can see them. They moved back and forth. Ezekiel was caught up to heaven, and the angels, the cherubim, zip back and forth like lightning. Lightning, you see it, but then thunder doesn't come until several seconds later. Jesus and the angels move faster than the speed of light. I picture they move like the speed of thought. Amen. Faster than the speed of light. And it could be, and I say could be, that Elijah was actually transported. See, when the Bible talks about him being taken away, I like to theorize and say that he was transported from point A to point B. After all, we know he was on the earth. Hello. And he got into heaven. That's a fact. In a moment of time. I theorize then that it's probable that he stepped on board the flaming chariot, so to speak, and was transported to the Father's kingdom in a moment of time through a wormhole. Now, I realize it's speculation, but it can't be disproved, so let me go on, can I? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 now, glory to God. Someone's thinking, I wish I'd have thought of that. Well, there's nothing new under the sun, somebody said. You're crazy. Well, if I am, then I'm crazy for the things of the Lord, right? Look at 2 Corinthians 5, and let's start in verse 6 here tonight, if I can find it. Hallelujah. Are you there? Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit's everywhere present, so in that regard, we're not absent from the Lord. But he's talking about being transported from point A to point B. Amen. And he said, and in view of the fact that the third heaven is at the end of outer space, beyond human comprehension, and to repeat, eternity is not bound by distance. So as long as we're in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But when we leave the body and go into the other realm, in the spirit form, how do we get to heaven? Well, first off, we know that the angels are there to escort us through the powers of the air, the principalities of the air. They're in the second heaven. They hinder our prayers. They do war with the angels of God. Satan is the Lord over the principalities of the air in the second heaven, or we could say in the dimension above us. But God is on up a notch. Hello. So how do we get through all of this? Well, God created all things, and if there is a wormhole, it's a very strong possibility we just get in the wormhole and we're transported into heaven in a moment of time. The only other alternative could be that angels would transport us, which they will transport us. And by the way, if we don't travel that fast, we'll have to know how to use the name of Jesus to come through the enemy. I choose to believe, by just an act of my own rationality, that we will be transported through one of God's machines. Glory to God. Oh. You know that God rides upon a cherubim. You want to know how God gets around the universe? In the universe? He rides a cherubim. How fast do they go? Faster than the speed of light, the speed of thought. Praise God. Can you imagine? That's what the word of God tells us then. So then, if we're going to be out of this body, we immediately move into the spirit realm and we're transported into the Father's house. Now, we've heard a lot on the news about people dying and going in through a tunnel, a dark tunnel. And as far as I know, there's no specific definition for that statement. But let's think a minute about the rich man. How did he get down into hell? If I could speculate in saying that there is a vacuum into hell, and it's actually some type of a unknown wormhole that, bam, you're there. Now, Psalms 90, verse 2, and I may come back to this in a little bit because I'm not really preaching. I'm just stirring your curiosity, maybe. Unless you already think I'm gone off the deep end here. Well, it can't be disproved. In fact, science is leading this way. Amen. They always confirm the Scripture every time. In Psalms 90 and verse 2, in view of the fact that we are eternal beings, then if God's eternal, then and we're going to live with Him, then we're eternal. But I'm dealing with how do we get to the Father's house? How does Jesus come back to the earth? How does He travel? How do angels go up and down on a ladder? What do you mean ladder, Jacob? What do you mean? What kind of ladder? Well, they described it as a ladder. But their terminology back in those days is not like we think today. Psalms 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In other words, from everlasting in eternity past. No beginning. All through time and into eternity future, no ending. That's where God is. Has no beginning, has no ending, surrounds time, controls time, actually created time for our benefit. But when we leave this body, we're not subject to time. Could I get an amen? We're in an eternal condition here. And distance means nothing. There's very much truth to this. There's no distance in prayer. That's exactly right. Because we're speaking into the eternal realm and time, space is irrelevant. Amen. Glory to God. Now, David mentioned a little something about this, and I've looked at this for years. I've never really looked at it quite this way. I realize it's straining a gnat a little bit. But is it really, if we think about how they talked? All right, let's look at Psalms 23. Now, we're going to think in the Old Testament thinking. They didn't have the revelation that we do from the Scripture. So they only had what was available up to their time frame. I'm speculating now that the dark tunnel we hear about people moving into may very well be a wormhole. It winds up somewhere, either down into heaven, or if you're a believer, you go into a different type of a wormhole filled with light, no darkness, and immediately it goes to heaven. Now, in David's words and his understanding, in verse 4, think about this a minute now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've always thought that's in the body. God's bigger than that. He had revelation of life after death, but in those days, they went down into the earth. Well, you got to get a hold of this. I'm saying that could be what he was speaking of in his phrases. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. So it was a shadow of death. Even though you were a believer, you were going down through a dark tunnel, but you wound up in paradise. That's what I'm saying. No problem. But now, in Luke 22, and I mentioned this a while ago about the rich man that died. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham. Now, they still had to go down to paradise, right? Didn't go up to heaven in those days. But the rich man died and he was buried. And where did he find himself? Immediately in hell in torment. How did he get there so fast? I'm speculating and saying there's some type of a vortex, wormhole, whatever you want to call it, that once a person's entity is in there, immediately you go where God, where it's assigned to go. That's the reason Paul said, now thinking about in our day now, in his day, after the resurrection, Christ plowed the way, see? Well, how do you get up to heaven? Why did he disappear? You know, these eyes can see long, long ways. Where did he disappear to? What did he get in? Well, one thing for sure, he was transported. Oh, we're just going to all kind of float around, you know. I don't know. We'll get up to heaven some way, maybe, and we'll just kind of find our way. No. God has a very, very specific way of travel. Not subject to anything that we understand. It's beyond comprehension and yet real. Now, on the positive side of this thing, and really it's all positive, believers, when they physically die, they go up to the light. I don't want to be in no dark tunnel when I'm out of this body. No. But David said he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. However, he said, but I fear no evil. So even in that time, there was no fear when he was in travel. No torment, no pain, nothing. More alive that way than this way in the body. But the way I see it now, that believers may very well travel in some type of invention that God created in another dimension, but it'll be to the light. Amen. And they'll not, I don't think, be minutes and minutes and minutes and hours of travel through this wormhole where we have lined up to the other side in a second. Because once you're in the wormhole, you wind up to the other side in a second. It's not like traveling in a rocket spaceship or an airplane. It's instantly. So Paul said to be absent from the body, what? Is to be present with the Lord. That's heaven. The only way to get to heaven is to travel light years away, thousands of light years away, in a second of time. The only way to do that is to be supernaturally transported from point A to point B. So I'm speculating and saying that God may use a vehicle like this to get his saints there in a nanosecond of time. Praise God. Now, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, so I'm more concerned today about the light. Because you know the Bible says that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. In our day of grace, I'd be very concerned if I find myself out of my body in a dark tunnel. I want to tell you that right now. But back in the days of King David now, they went down. In our day, if you're a believer, we don't go down. We go up. But how do we go up? Immediately, we're transported from point A to point B through some type of supernatural travel. It must be so. In order to get to the third heaven in a second of time. Glory to God. Now everybody say, God is light. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, in verse 2 of Acts 9 now. He desired of him letters of Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of that way, or believers, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he had journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Now, what type of a situation is this? A light from heaven. If he would have stepped into that light, oh, never mind. God is light. God is light. Say it with me. God is light. Now, in John 1:5, I think it is. Let me look at this now. I think we might be going tilt here, or you're turning me down. That's okay. I bet you did some research. 1 John 1:5, I just quoted this, paraphrase. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Praise God. Then in Revelations chapter 21, hallelujah. Short little exhortation tonight. Einstein speculated and said that if we can travel faster than the speed of light for a few weeks, one would come back to the earth and watch yourself be born. It's back to the future, everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hello, or something. See, we don't understand this, but I can assure us all we're eternal beings. We'll have no if, doubts, or anything else whenever we enter into that realm by the grace of God. God's got it all taken care of. And one of these days, we're going to get on board. And in 1 second later, we're going to find ourselves in a place. We'll be standing in the city where the Lamb is the light. In a moment of time, whether we leave through physical death, we're still there in a moment of time. But I want to get you conditioned as to how you're going to travel. If I could speculate, it's a carnal speculation, but we've got the angel here in a supernatural elevator, some type of vehicle. Opens the door. All aboard! You going to get on? How many's going to get on? I don't know. Where are you going? Father's house. There must be some type of vehicle that angels travel in. Oh, now you're going to get into that UFO stuff, uh-huh. Well, in Revelation 21, verse 23, I'm trying to propose to our minds tonight that out of this physical body, gravity has no gravitation. Distance has no meaning. Not subject to time. Space is not defined as space like we think about. Because we'll be in God's dimension where distance, time, and space has no meaning. We're in eternity. Say eternity. No wonder Paul said, it'd be far greater, far better for me to go. He understood these things. And I hope that we're getting a grasp on it. I'm concerned when some people get to heaven, they're going to be, there's no fear there, but they're going to be startled to see these cherubim, seraphim flying around, different faces, four faces and wings and this and that, and hands coming out of the wings like this, you know, and all kinds of things going on, and they're going to be, but you know what? Nothing but pure love. When Jesus would say, well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many cities. Enter into the joys of the Lord. I had a vision about that one time. Enter into the joys of the Lord. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. After we stand the judgment and receive our good works, it seems to me that we're going to be able to literally walk into the Shekinah glory of God in fullness and disappear in His great love. That is what it means to be in the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our Father wants us to come to His bosom. But it's not in this dimension. It's in another dimension up. How do we get there? Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. God's got us covered. Before I read the last scripture tonight, I remember a man years ago, some 30 years ago. He was an elderly man. He had a vision. He said he found himself in this desert with no water, no food, and he was starving to death, thirsty. He prayed to God. He said, God, if I just had a horse, I could ride out of here. And so in the distance, he sees a cloud of smoke coming, and this beautiful war stallion, white horse, runs right up to him and just stops right in front of him. He said he was beautiful. He said, Lord, how can I ride this horse? I don't have a bridle and a saddle or anything. The Lord said, look to your left. He looked over to the left, and there was this golden panel with a saddle and a bridle, all gold. He said, I got the bridle and put it up to the horse. You know how we used to pry their mouth open and try to get it? He said, I didn't have to do that. I just put the bit up there and the horse just took it. Just reached out and grabbed it. He said, the bridle fit perfect. And put the saddle on and it fit perfect and everything. He's getting ready to get out of there. And when he put his foot in the stirrup, he was dirty. The Lord told him, you got to get some stuff straightened out here. He said, I'm sorry, God. He took the saddle off, took the bridle off, hit the horse on the rear, and the horse took off running, and there he stood, so sad. What did it mean? He was sharing his vision with me. I believe him. I still believe him today. He said, God, I'm sorry. I asked to borrow your horse, your saddle, your bridle. I wasn't even thankful, just selfish. He said, I'm sorry. He said, that sure was a beautiful horse. And God said to him, son, that's your horse. That is your horse. I made him for you. He said, God, when I get to heaven, you got trillions of horses. How can I find him? He said, when you get to heaven, that horse will find you. I just never forgot it. That horse will find you. Praise God. Folks, we're going to a place that's absolutely out of this world. In a moment of time, glory to God, we'll be leaving. There'll be no time to ask for forgiveness then. No time to say I'm sorry then. No time to get things right then. Well, we've got to be right with God at all costs. Now, I always pray, Lord, don't let me miss out on heaven. No matter, don't let me. He won't. He's faithful. Glory to God. In Revelation 21:23, the last scripture tonight, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. I tell you, Jesus is so marvelous. Even when He was on the earth back in that day, He went up the Mount of Transfiguration. The three disciples were there watching. There appeared Moses and Elijah talking with Him. Distance means nothing in that realm. Moses had been dead thousands of years. Elijah hadn't died. Here they both show up talking with Jesus about His coming crucifixion. And Jesus was transfigured. Everybody say transfigured. He allowed them to get a glimpse of how He really is. And Moses got a glimpse and his face shone and all that. But these guys were up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter said, oh, let us build some tents, let us build some booths and camp out here. God never even responded. ignored him. Poor Peter. But Elijah and Moses, they were shiny too. The Lord says they weren't the light. They were merely reflectors of the light coming from the Savior. Oh, I'm telling you, God is light. He wants us to let our light shine in this world. Not hide it under a basket anymore. Let your light shine before men. They'll see your good works. Glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Amen. It isn't your light. It comes from Jesus. We are reflectors.
Enjoy today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. For more information regarding our ministry and mission, please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com. Or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International.